You know, Pastor's not the only one that got a blessing out of that call. You know, just being asked to do this for Elder Don is a little intimidating, and because it's not something that I do very often. I work on cars pretty good, but in the interaction with Pastor fixing his car, we just had a little discussion. I was just sharing with him how a little nervous I was about this, and just he had said a few words to me, and it just reminded me that, you know, this isn't about me. This is about God. And it just, you know, just really gave me peace that, you know, I think just as a person, you know, we all, you know, we don't want to fail and this and that. And so it's, you know, you're up here and I'm afraid that, you know, I'm going to be embarrassed and this and that. But it just gave me peace. You know, just other people were praying and just really, really helped me. So that helped me a lot, Pastor, with your car breaking down as well. So good morning again. We will be on page 47 in your workbooks. And I know the scripture is not in your workbooks. If you want to turn to your Bibles, you can. But I know Elder Don's been going over Galatians 5:22, of the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to say them together with me, we can, which is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And I'm sorry, you can stand for the reading of God's Word. And so if you want Ephesians 5:8-10, there's a few in here. And Galatians 6:10 we'll be reading from, and Psalms 105. So Ephesians 5:8-10, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In Psalms 105, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Father, just for the opportunity to bring your word to your people. Help us through your word how to understand how you work for our good. Help us to realize what the good gifts of God are. Father, help us through your word this morning understand how Jesus displayed the goodness of God. Father, I also pray that we all would accept just God's greatest act of goodness, salvation. I pray also this lesson just would be, we'd be willing to tell others of the saving goodness of you, God. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're on page 47. The overview there, the Holy Spirit's fruit of goodness is much needed characteristic. Jesus Christ displayed goodness. We can learn from his example and reveal his goodness to a lost, dying world. The Holy Spirit's fruit of goodness will reign in the life of the believer who genuinely accepts God's good gift of salvation and shares it with the lost world. In every relationship, there are toxins of potential elements with destructive capability. Yet God, through the Holy Spirit, has provided a cleansing agent for restored vitality in our relationships. This agent is the aptitude of goodness. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. The spiritual fruit of goodness is defined as uprightness in heart and life, virtue equipped and ready at every point. Galatians 6:10 says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A spirit-filled Christian desires to do good for others. The world interprets the word good in various ways. Some people believe it revolves around anything that increases their pleasure. To others, it involves knowledge. They believe it if we can increase knowledge of good, there will be no evil. Many people believe it involves materialism. They call it the good life. Still, others equate good with not doing certain things. I didn't eat chocolate. I was good. Excuse me. The Bible tells us that God is the example of goodness. Psalms 105 states, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth of all generations." He not only is the example, but through him we see the fruit of goodness in action. God works for our good. Romans 5:28 speaks of how God works for the believer's good. As we know, all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. When difficulties come into the Christian life, God brings good from every situation. Only he can turn trials into blessings. God gives good gifts. In James 1:17, there in your workbook, the Bible tells of God's good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Jesus displayed the goodness of God. The greatest gift God gave the world was his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus followed his Father's example of goodness. Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." God's goodness is unsearchable. Your best efforts cannot measure or come close to his perfection. He is the source from which the fruit of goodness flows. Although we cannot teach his perfect goodness, we can get close to the source of goodness to manifest it in our lives. There are three ways for us to see goodness flowing from our lives. There in your workbook, Roman numeral 1, recognize your need for God's goodness. Sometimes the hardest part is to realize we do have a need for goodness in our lives. Our human nature tends to be prideful when it realizes it lacks something. Just like you may feel embarrassed to ask someone for help, the same apprehension comes when you find that you need to ask God for something lacking in our life. I'm not talking about saying out loud, "I do need the fruit of goodness in my life." I'm talking about our life and finding places that are lacking goodness. Once you do this, you will realize not only that you need goodness, but you can begin applying it. Letter A, there in your workbook, our original nature is not good. Have you ever wondered how a worm gets inside of an apple? You may think it eats its way from the outside in. This is wrong. Scientists have actually discovered just the opposite. The worm eats its way from the inside out. An insect lays an egg in the apple blossom, and sometimes later the egg hatches it in the heart of the apple. After the egg hatches, the small worm begins to eat its way out of the apple. Sin, like the worm, begins in the heart of a person. The apple did not choose the worm living inside it, nor did we choose our Adamic sin nature living inside us. Just the worm eating itself out of the apple. Just like the worm eating itself out of the apple, even so, our sin nature works itself out through thoughts, words, and actions. Our original sin nature is just that, a sin nature. The root of our lives are planted in the Adamic nature, and we have no ability to produce good fruit on our own. Romans 5:12 says there in your workbook, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I once heard a secular humanist say that his belief was in the complete inherent goodness of man, that world peace and all of the world's problems could be solved without Jesus Christ in the Bible. I feel sorry for him. My first thought was to question whether he was living on the same planet. If our world was only so great, there would not be high divorce rates, overflowing prisons, and deadly wars. All you have to do is read a history book. Even children from the earliest development display something other than continual goodness. The Bible speaks of the world's fallen sin nature in Romans 3:12, there in your workbook. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Letter B, there in your workbook, we cannot produce true goodness. No matter how hard we try, we cannot produce true goodness in and out of ourselves. Romans 7:18 says there in your workbook, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." In Isaiah 64:6, the Bible says, "But we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Benjamin Franklin wrote in his autobiography, "I conceived the bold and arduous project of arriving at moral perfection. I wished to live without committing any fault at any time. I would conquer all that either nature, inclinations, custom, or company might lead me into, as I knew or thought I knew what was right or wrong. I did not see why I might not always do one and avoid the other. But I soon found I had undertaken a task of more difficulty than I had imagined. While my care was employed in guarding against one fault, I was often surprised by another. Habit took the advantage of the inattention. Inclination was sometimes too strong for reason. I concluded at length that the mere speculative conviction that it was our interest to be completely virtuous was not sufficient to prevent our slipping." If Mr. Franklin, who epitomized virtue, could not be good, I certainly fall short of true goodness. I must recognize the source of virtue. God's righteousness empowers me to express the fruit of goodness. Roman numeral 2, receive Christ as your Savior. If you are wondering why this is a way to goodness, you need to know that you cannot bear fruit of goodness unless you have Christ inside of you. The reason we call goodness a fruit of the Spirit is because the fruit comes from the Spirit alone. When we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Around 1830, a man named George Wilson killed a government employee who caught him in the act of robbery. Wilson was tried and sentenced to be hanged. Andrew Jackson, the President of the United States, sent Wilson a pardon. But Wilson did a strange thing. He refused to accept the pardon. Everybody was at a loss of what to do next. So Wilson's case was sent to the United States Supreme Court. Chief Justice Marshall wrote the opinion, "A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. His sentence was carried through, and he was killed because he refused to be pardoned. Jesus Christ has handed us, you and me, a pardon for the sins we have committed that must be paid for. Our sentence will be carried through if we refuse Christ's pardon. Letter A there in your workbook. You will be born of His Spirit. You and I will never have the capacity for bearing the fruit of goodness apart from the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is necessary for us to be born again by the Holy Spirit. John 3, 5 through 7, there in your workbook, says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. First, this new birth is spiritual. When we receive Christ as we are also receiving a new nature. We are being changed from the inside out. It is only after the Holy Spirit indwells us that we can begin to see the fruit of goodness develop in our lives. Ephesians 4:22, there in your workbook, through 24, describes the change once we have the mind of Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after is created in righteousness and true holiness. Second, this new birth is eternal. In John 10:28, the Bible says, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Imagine God holding us in His hands. There is no grip like God's grip. And He promises no man can pluck us out of His all-powerful hands. Once we receive Christ, we are eternally secure in our position and relation to Jesus Christ. A recent poll indicated that 76% of Americans believe in heaven and 71% believe in hell. 50% of those who believe in heaven believe you can go to heaven without accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible contradicts this opinion in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The new birth is eternal, but it is only available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Letter B there in your workbook. You will partake of His divine nature. When we recognize that we are not good because of our own merit, then we must see the need to receive Christ as our Savior. We are born of the Spirit, and we become a partaker of His divine nature. His goodness is then produced through our life. There in your workbook, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and goodness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1:3-4. Partakers of the divine nature, this serene promise from the Lord places our insignificant souls into the realm of His worth. We do not have the ability to be divine, but we have to be partakers of His holiness. This elevates the average soul into the uttermost conceivable condition, making it like God's divine nature. Roman numeral 3, there in your workbook. Reveal the goodness of God to a lost world. Once we realize that you cannot produce true goodness, and after we have received Christ's divine nature, we are then in a position to reveal God's goodness to a lost world. It is like trying to cover a flickering candle with the palm of your hand. After a while, the flame will burn consistently hot so that your hand will be forced to move. When you have the goodness of God inside of you and the Holy Spirit is a part of you, you will burn consistently with consistently with God's flame of truth. I was reading that and I was just remembering how, when I first became a Christian, how kind of relates to it, but just couldn't not talk about the Lord. You know, just people were sick of it, but I wasn't. It will not matter if others are trying to cover you your truth through denial or rejection. You will still constantly shine in the light of truth. You see, being good is what you are on the inside. Doing good is what people see on the outside. The Holy Spirit at work in your life. Ephesians 5:8, there in your workbook, 10, says that good living is the fruit of the Spirit. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Letter A, there in your workbook, goodness is found in the Word of God. Let's make this practical. How can you reveal God's goodness to others? First, by recognizing that goodness is found in the Word of God. You cannot know what is good by your own feelings. Observe how many times you say the words, "I feel." I did this at date night the other night. I stopped in 5 minutes how many times we both said "we feel." It was like 6-7 times in 5 minutes. So I figured I'd better give up at that point. But so observe how many times you say the words "I feel" in a day. It is astonishing to think how time and again we refer to ourselves. The majority of the time we say these two words together, we are taking the emphasis off God and putting them into self. Nowhere in the Bible are the two words "I feel" mentioned together. Jesus never once, one time, said, "I feel like taking a break," or "I feel like sitting this one out." Christ never relied on his own feelings. He always relied on the Word of God. The reports after John F. Kennedy Jr.'s death said that he might have experienced vertigo before his plane crashed. He was trying to direct a plane according to his feelings, and this led to the plane's demise. Sometimes Christians try to make decisions when their decision maker is broken, when their hearts are not following the Word of God. This most often leads to destruction. Your guide must be the Word of God, not your feelings. Micah 6:8 says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." God has called you to goodness, to be faithful through the instruction of his word. There in your workbook, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalms 119:9. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Psalms 119:50. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Psalms 119:133. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Psalms 119:172. There in your workbook, letter B, goodness is cultivated through godly fellowship. Next, realize goodness is cultivated through godly fellowship. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Right fellowship produces right behavior. Godly friendships will encourage you to have goodness in every situation. It may take encouragement of a godly mentor to help you integrate goodness into your everyday lifestyle. Spend time with those who practice goodness and allow them to provoke you to good works. Once you have begun a habit of goodness, mentor those around you and share the fruit of the Spirit. I love that in our church family. There are so many, you know, folks that just do that so well and mentor others, and I am so blessed with that and so appreciate that. Letter C there in your workbook. Goodness is revealed through a walk with Christ. Third, goodness is revealed through a walk with Christ. In Ephesians 2:8 through 10, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God saves us by his grace, but as his workmanship, we were created to serve him. As we follow God, good works will come forth from our lives. There in your workbook, Matthew 5:16 speaks of the good works of witnessing. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God has given us the opportunity to do something of eternal significance. Acts 9:39 speaks of good works of serving. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and sewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. When the Holy Spirit impresses you to do something for others, act at that moment. Life is short, and you must make the most of every opportunity to serve the precious people God has brought into your life. In the early church, Christians often faced criticism and slander. Instead of complaining or quitting, they handled their critics by staying faithful in good works. There in your workbook, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 2:12. 10 years from now, when we are still loving, serving, and giving, others will know us by our fruit. If Jesus Christ is living in your heart, there is always the potential to have the fruit of goodness. The question is, are we yielding to the Holy Spirit? Are we allowing him to produce goodness towards our spouse, our children, and others? Yield to him, and the fruit of goodness will be a contrast to the wickedness and despondency of our world today. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word today. We just pray that we go practice this, Father God, and that we would just try to be a light in our homes and in our church and at work. Father God, I do just pray for our pastor this morning as he brings us your word, Father God. I just pray for boldness for him and of your word, and just give him your power this morning, Father God. And I just thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Done a little early, and you did great, brother. That was a huge blessing. So we'll dismiss here in just a second, and we'll pray in the main service for this too. But Scott was sort of talking just about.